Well, how true that song is. Amen. Thank you, Ms. Sheila, for that. Go ahead and take your Bibles, turn to Mark 16, and I'll be a good steward of your Super Bowl evening, if you'll turn quickly. You know, you have made me laugh a little bit, some of you, when I started talking about selfies this morning. I've had so many comments. I've had people that said that they were going to, they were tempted, and it's bad when you're tempted in church. Most temptations in church cannot turn out good, but I had several say that they were tempted to take a selfie and send it to me while I was preaching, while I had my phone out. Of course, for some of them, that'd probably give me a heart attack, so that wouldn't have been good, but anyway. And then I think some of them were just talking out of sheer conviction. At least that's what I'm going to say. But anyway, it's good to have fun at church. I don't think church has to be like a morgue. Church ought to be as lively as any place on the planet. You know? What Sheila just sang about, just the simple fact that there's a miracle in every pew. Every one of us are a miracle of God. And when we come together, when you bring that many miracles together, it ought to usher life into a service. Love the songs we got to sing tonight. It does get sweeter. The more you serve God, the sweeter it gets. Some of you need to notify your face of that, but it should get sweeter the longer that you serve them. I really just want to share a thought with you, and then we have some needs tonight that we're going to gather around the altar and pray together about. Then we've got some meetings after church, so I do want to be a good steward of your time. We traveled to Greenville after church today and had another funeral this afternoon. My uncle passed away on Thursday, and my great uncle, and he was one of 15 children. He was the next to youngest. So my grandmother's brother, he was born with some special needs and had a hard time for 69 years communicating. But he was, most of the time, he was a blessing. And I do believe that with those with special needs, I do believe God has a special place in heaven for them. Really do. And I believe my Uncle Buddy was as right with the Lord as he could be. He knew the gospel, and I trust that he's in heaven today. Before we get into Mark 16, I do want to share some things with you that have just been on my heart and my mind just this week, especially with all the tragic deaths that we've had associated with our church. I shared some of this with our men yesterday, so if you were here yesterday morning, we had 27 at Men's Fellowship yesterday morning. I'm going to just go pulpit, and we're just going to not try this again tonight. Y'all pray for this microphone. It's probably going to die after tonight. A cruel, smashing death. Monday, got a phone call and received several emails about Miss Janet's passing and how tragic that situation was. Got up, normal day, had been feeling really good. Got up, went to work, was sitting, talking to some of her coworkers, and felt some pain. Expressed some discomfort and had a hard time just within a matter of seconds catching her breath. Her coworkers tried to get some help before, the right help could get there. She went out into eternity. Then I got a phone call from Tammy about one of our school families who is really, really a precious family. And I don't know if you understand how widespread God is allowing our influence to be in our community because of our church and because of the school. But got the phone call and tried to contact the family, and once we got in contact with them, sure enough, two of the kids in our school, their grandparents were found dead on Monday, the granddad and the grandmother at their home. Just a tragic thing. They think that maybe the grandmother died in her sleep and the granddaddy had a heart attack, and they found them both Monday afternoon. And so Monday was just kind of a wild day, and then you have all the weather coming, and the sleet comes in, and the ice begins to form, and then we get this thing, we're not used to it, so probably need to tell you what it was. We had snow, and so got snowed in, and Tuesday night the roads were getting pretty bad, and weather was starting to set in. I got a call from Daniel Eason, and he told me that his brother had gone to the doctor and had some flu-like symptoms, went to the doctor to get some medicine, was home on Tuesday evening, just before Daniel had called me, and he went into the kitchen to get some water, came back into the living room, and he had been in the living room 1 or 2 minutes, and his wife heard his cup hit the floor when she went in. He was non-responsive in his chair. She called 911, of course. They got there in a pretty good amount of time, pretty quick, and they tried to resuscitate him, got him to Wayne Memorial, and lost him before they could get Scott there. He was 41. Janet was 60. The grandparents were in their early 60s, 61, 62. Scott was 41. My Uncle Buddy was 69. And then Brother Keith had a cousin, I believe. First cousin pass away. That's a lot of tragic passings in about a 3.5 day span. There's a lot of responses you can have to that. As I told our men yesterday, I think ultimately God always wants to use things in our life to bring us back to reality. And there's several things that I think are reality, and this is from the oldest person in the building to the youngest person in the building, that the reality is life is short. Life is very short. The reality that we are not promised tomorrow. We don't know when our time is going to be. How many have your day planned out tomorrow? Raise your hand. Mine's planned out. Some of you, like, we don't make plans anymore. We're retired. Well, I make plans. In fact, I've got our whole week laid out. In large part, I've got my entire month laid out. But we're not promised tomorrow. And I challenged our men yesterday morning, and I just want to challenge us with this thought in mind, that may we be committed to taking advantage of these opportunities God gives us. If the Lord were to come back before next Sunday, how would we spend this week? What would we be passionate about this week? If we knew when the Lord was coming to get us, let's say it's in the next 48 hours and he tells you, how many believe we'd get some things right with God to never go back? How many understand we would spend some quality time with our family, making sure that we were in great standing with all of our family, to make sure that our family knew that we loved them, to make sure they knew what was important to us? And yet I do believe that in redeeming that time, I do believe one thing that we would be passionate about and we would be faithful to is I think we'd spend a week sharing the gospel too.
because I hope it's important to you, but I know it is important to me. I want to make sure that when I go into eternity, I'm bringing some sheaves with me. That's people. I talked about just several weeks ago, and it has been on my heart so much starting this year off about going to heaven empty-handed. I don't want to go to heaven empty-handed. But I don't want to share the gospel just motivated by going to heaven empty-handed either. You realize tonight, church, that we are commanded to share the gospel. I have enjoyed thoroughly our Sunday school lessons from the book of Romans, and today we talked about evangelism and why we evangelize and how we evangelize and to whom we evangelize. But ultimately, if you want to know why in the world should we be an evangelistic church? Why in the world should we be about winning people to Jesus Christ? Why in the world should we be a Great Commission-focused church? It is because God commanded it. He commanded it. And if we were to simplify our Christian life, it would simply be this: in every area, obedience or disobedience. And I ask us tonight, are we obedient to the command of sharing our faith? Mark 16, verse 15, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The word gospel there is, it literally means the good news. And listen to me, it is good news. Nothing's going to change our world like the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing is going to change the direction of someone's life except the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing is going to change a person except the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not the latest self-help book. It's Jesus and His gospel. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It is good news. Now, again, I'm not a huge Facebook guy. I probably have been on it more in the last month than I have in the 4 years of its major existence, probably. I think there is some good that can come out of Facebook, and yet I do believe there's also a lot of danger that can come from it. One of the things that we did a good bit of when we were snowed in by the 80 inches of snow is it was interesting to still be able to connect to everyone to see how they were enjoying the winter solace, the blizzard of a lifetime. To see pictures of the kids, wrapped up in their snow clothes and making snowmen, and to see videos of people sledding in all kinds of different ways. Some sledding off of the bypass ramp, in the hill there. Which, by the way, I'll just say this. If you were there, you're nuts. I know who some of you are, too. And you're like, thanks, preacher. Love you, too. But it did look fun. We have a sloped driveway, and so it served as a good slide for us. We almost died several times, which was invigorating, but... and so we posted a video of that, and several of you liked it and commented on that, and we watched some of your adventures as well. We took pictures. I took a picture of just our yard and our house, and took pictures of the kids, and we didn't have anything else to do, so we shared them. And people were on there just like crazy, just sharing things. Look what we're doing. When something good happens, right now, one of the things I'm trying to do is when I really read something that grips my heart, I try to post it, whether it's on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, because it's good news. This morning, I had so many folks come in and say, yeah, we got the emails this week, and how sad. And sometimes we send blast emails out that contain bad news. But then there's other times we send it out where it contains good news. Folks, you know what? We should be so passionate about sharing good news that it becomes just second nature to us. The gospel is good news. I love what Agent Rogers said about the gospel. He said, you know why the gospel is good news? You know why the gospel is the only thing that will change the world? He said, number one, because God thought it. He said, man didn't come up with the gospel. God did. Before the foundations of the world, God whipped up the gospel in His supernatural, infinite mind. He said, this is how I will redeem mankind. Man would have messed it up. Man would have done it different. I'm glad God thought it. He said, but something else. You can hear His voice. I wish I had His voice. I wish He had left it in His will to me. But He said, not only did God, was it the God that thought it, He said, Christ bought it. Christ bought it. He said, there's no better news in the world than to tell someone, you have a wage for your sin, it's death, this is bad news, and you can't pay enough to get out of it. But the good news is, Christ has already paid it. It's a gift of God. God thought it. Christ bought it. Now, Satan fought it. You know that. Don't you think that there had to have been some kind of rejoicing, even though it was temporary in hell when Jesus was hanging on that cross? They took Jesus' lifeless body down. And it's possible, even though Satan's a theologian, it's possible that Satan and all of the demons of hell thought, you know what? We've got him. But he didn't. And still, even today, even till the end of the age, when God uncreates the earth and imprisons him and then lets him out and then destroys him and casts him into hell, until that day, Satan will continue to fight the gospel. He said, oh, but oh, my friend. He said, not only did God thought it and Christ bought it, Satan fought it. Then he said, but grace still brought it. That's good news. That is good news today. And that is what we have been commissioned. He said, go into all the world. Don't paint some gloom and doom picture, even though that is a portion of the gospel. You let them know, literally the word means, you let them know of the good news. There's good news today. The good news that is Jesus Christ came to this earth to die on an old rugged cross for the sin of all mankind. And whosoever shall call upon His name shall be saved. That's good news. Good news. How do we change the world? We stay focused on that news. I heard about a preacher who recently went and ate at a restaurant that was called the Pancake Factory. When he first went in, he thought immediately, looking at the big sign in the opening of the foyer in the restaurant, something caught him odd. The place is called the Pancake Factory, and yet the specials of the day were grilled chicken and spicy Mexican sauce. He said, I left with the impression that this restaurant has lost its focus. You're called the Pancake Factory. And yet so many churches have lost their focus as well. You understand tonight that the business of soul winning is the business of the church. It's the business of the church. That has not changed. And ladies and gentlemen, that will not change until Jesus Christ takes us home. It'll never change. It is the business of the church. It was Christ's business when He came. He said, for the Son of Man is not come, Luke 19:10, to do these other things except to seek and to save that which was lost. very few unbelievers are going to wake up on a Sunday morning and say, you know what? I think I'll mosey on over to the church house to see what the Christians are up to. Oh, that's why God didn't say, stay, and when they come, preach the gospel. Listen, this morning was a blessing. We have a lot of our folks sick. I think we've got some out of town, and then we got some backslidden. All right? So we had some of our folks not here, but did you look around at how many visitors were here this morning? Man, everywhere I looked, I saw a face I didn't recognize. That's awesome. They were invited. I spent several hours on the phone yesterday inviting people. I've been inviting all week long. I had several visitors here today, several texts to say, hey, we'll be back next week. Praise God. But you know what? It was because somebody called them. If we just stay here, and so many churches, this is what they're about. Let's just exist, and when they come in, we'll minister to them. That was never part of the Great Commission. Jesus said, go. Go get them. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Dr. Ronald Schultz, a preacher in Texas, said, we sing bringing in the sheaves while we're out swinging in our lees. On the other hand, maybe it's bring them in when we're not willing to go out and win. There's no one in the church house to encourage with, why not tonight? Because we never go around sending the light. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it on Sunday, but we rather talk about the, and I'll add to it, the Super Bowl on Monday. What a forked-tongued people we've become. One man said, Christians are not as guilty of telling lies as they are singing them. May I say to you today simply, there is still a call that's come ringing over the restless waves, send the light. There are still souls to rescue, and church, there are still souls to save. Send the light. There's still a call for us to bring them in. And there's still a call for us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'm glad tonight of several things as I close. Number one, I'm glad God gives me the privilege to go. It's not just a burden that I'm going to live under. It is a privilege that I'm going to live in. I'm just glad He gives me the privilege to go. I'm glad that He equips me with the tools that I need. You say, what's the tools? Oh, there's really only one. It's the gospel. By the way, you know how powerful that tool is? You know how powerful the gospel is? I do not fear any other religion because we hold the truth. I'm glad that God has called me to be involved in this. I'm glad that God has equipped us with the gospel, and I am so glad that God has not told me a certain group to go to and a certain group not to go to. I'm glad tonight the Great Commission is for everybody. The gospel is for the world, every creature. Last night at the basketball, after our basketball game, I got a chance to talk to several guys who we've been playing basketball against now for years. And I invited them. I said, hey, I put them over the corner and said, hey, we're having Super Bowl Sunday. We'd love for you to come. They said, Super Bowl Sunday? I said, no, Super Goal Sunday. So we're just trying to have a bunch of visitors, and I've invited you before, and this would be a great day for you to come. And so while I'm talking to this guy in the corner, another guy who plays on his team came up. I said, hey, we're having Super Goal Sunday. Before I knew it, I had eight of their team around me. Hey, we're having Super Goal Sunday. Three of them were here this morning. I know for a fact that of the three that were here, two of them are lost. Wouldn't it be a shame for us to play in a church league with them? You say, if they're lost, why are they playing in a church league? You don't know our church league. Wouldn't it be a shame for me? People know I'm a preacher. That's why I got to be on good behavior. Right, Terry? I try. Would it be a shame to play against these guys 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years in a basketball league? See them every Saturday for 2.5 months. See them at different places throughout the year. And then to know that when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, to be made aware that they went to hell because all I ever did was play and talk basketball. Church, it's time we give men and women, boys and girls, the gospel. It'll set them free. It's good news. I want you to bow your heads this evening. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. You're here and you say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. But I also know that God's called me to share the gospel." And you tonight would simply say, "Preacher, I just want to be more faithful, more obedient to share the gospel." If that's you, would you lift your hand tonight? Just keep it up. Hands all over this building. I want you to stand with me. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And I just think it'd be great to gather around the altar tonight. Maybe even to call out some names. Call out some names of those who need to be saved. Somebody God's put on your heart. Maybe to come tonight and ask forgiveness for an opportunity, even this week, that you missed to share the gospel. This song is so true. Blake's going to sing just one chorus, and we're going to pray. Church realize how much people need the Lord. You step out tonight. Still in your seat, if you would just kind of kneel right there, use that as your altar. We got some needs we want to pray for. We want to pray, number one, that God will help us stay focused on the Great Commission. God will help us stay focused on souls. Tonight we want to pray for every family that was touched by tragedy this week. If your church family's not going to lift you up, who is? So can we pray for them tonight? We also have some other special needs in our church, and we'll just consider them unspoken. God knows them. And some of you may even know them. Cry out to heaven tonight. Father, thank you. Thank you for the privilege to be in your house, to preach your word, to feel your spirit. Lord, first of all, I need to just ask forgiveness. Because even in the last couple weeks, I look back and just see opportunities. Maybe because I was in a hurry. Maybe I just was not as sensitive and in tune with you as I needed to be. But I know that I've missed some opportunities to share the gospel. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me for not having a greater burden like I should. God, we are in desperate need tonight of your grace and your strength to help us obey on a daily basis this call that comes ringing from the Gospels. Help us to go. Lord, tonight, would you begin to really work on our hearts about certain individuals that you desire for us to speak to specifically. Lord, tonight, would you be with our families that have been touched by tragedy this week? Would you undergird them with your sufficient grace? And Lord, all of those personal and unspoken needs that we have, promises, we claim your power, and we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to be dismissed. I'm going to mention a couple of things to you. Today, we had set a goal, try to have 100 visitors, and I know not everybody, and it wasn't just 100 first-time visitors. It was 100 visitors, first-time visitors. Maybe they visit a couple times. Maybe it's been a long time. That was some of the folks I went after that I just hadn't seen in a long time, and some of them were here today. I don't know how many visitors we had, but we had a lot. You say, Preacher, did we reach our goal? Well, let me tell you what we did reach. We had two people this morning walk the aisle and give their life to Jesus Christ. And if we had had 1,000 people here and nobody saved, it wouldn't have been any sweeter than having 450 here with two people saved. And so we rejoice in that. You pray that we'll be faithful to follow up and see these folks discipled in the days to come. Right after church, we've got a small group meeting. So if you're involved, if you signed up, or if you're interested in being in our small groups, I want you to meet with me right up here as soon as we dismiss. That way I can get you home. 10 great dates this Friday night, February 7th. Brother Stephen mentioned a lot of these. We've got several meetings next week. Here's a big one. Three things. Make sure as soon as we leave, whether you're coming to the small group meeting or not, go by the outreach table and pick up a visit for this week. As far as I know, it's not going to snow. So you have no excuse. And let's be actively visiting folks and actively involved in our outreach here. We're giving you several days to make these visits. And go visiting, try to make the visits before Wednesday night, church, and get that information back to us. Second thing is, we had a ladies' expo last night, Women's Ministry Expo, and that went well. There were 61 or 62 ladies here last night, which is fantastic. We thank the Lord for that. Several more have signed up for stuff that were not able to make it last night. There's a table set up just inside of the fellowship hall, my right, and as you're going out, of course, your right. As soon as you get in the door, just take a right, and it's right there. There's some different ministries that you can sign up for, and here's the thing. We want our ladies to be involved in as much as they feel God is placing on their heart. None of those particular ministries on that table, just like anything we do, nothing is in competition with each other. New Bern Christian Academy is not in competition with Upward. Monday and Tuesday night outreach is not in competition with the music ministry. We got a Sunday school campaign coming in March. Sunday school campaign is not going to be in competition with anything we're going to do with our men and our women. Listen, we are unified together to do one thing. That is to glorify God by sharing the gospel to the world. They all come together. And so don't feel like you got to choose one. Choose it all. Get your hands filled up. And let's redeem the time. Redeem the time. So, ladies, go back there. Guys, don't sign up back there. So that table, and then there was one more thing. Oh, I wasn't going to forget. This coming Saturday, we have a kids' ministry training. If you are involved in any way, shape, or form in our kids' ministries, and that is from the nursery up through junior church, whether it's Sunday school, junior church, Awana's, nursery, bus ministry, anything to do with our kids, we have a training plan for you on Saturday. Now, I know Brother Stephen mentioned it already, but I want to mention it to you. It is a must that you come if you're involved, because we want to make sure that as our kids' ministries, just like anything else, we want to make sure that the right hand knows what the left hand's doing. And we want to give you all the training and equip you to make sure that we are doing the best job we can to make and mold this next generation. This is important days. And so please come. It's going to be a great day. They're going to provide some food for you. They're going to provide some amazing training for you. It'll give you an opportunity to kind of, you know, catch up and get up to speed on what we're doing in our kids' ministry. So make it a priority in being here on Saturday. And we'll mention more even on Wednesday about that, okay? 9 to 12, nursery, Awana, children's church, Sunday school volunteers. We encourage all of you to attend, and attend with your heart and your mind, all right? Don't leave your brain at home either. Come engaged, okay? All right, I love you. You've had a great spirit today. I just hope you come every service with this kind of spirit. You're just good, and I hope you have a great night. Let's just take a quick poll. How many are pulling for the Broncos? Raise your hand. All right. How many are pulling for the Seahawks? How many just love Jesus? All right. Listen, you better. You're like, well, I don't know. So anyway, let's pray. Father, thank you. We love you. You are an awesome, awesome God. And we don't deserve to even have fellowship with you through relationship, but tonight we give you praise for it. Send us now away in your grace. God, give us strength and wisdom to do as you will. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget about our small groups meeting. You're dismissed.